It's time for the Apple Watchcast. So much to talk about this episode. The DOJ files an antitrust lawsuit against Apple. New sensors for the Apple Watch, including blood pressure trends, may be on the way. Apple in talks with Google for Gemini AI on the iPhone. And a diver has advice for keeping your Apple Watch from ending up at the bottom of a lake. Plus reviews of the new Apple Watch Band's spring colors. Business Wars podcast, and the Sphere in Las Vegas. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 463, recorded Thursday, March 21st, 2024. Too much tour.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world, and that might be a problem. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
You have been served. Hello.
That sucked. That's a great title for the show. You have been served. Also joining us, as always, is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you, Tom. Hi, Vincent.
Hello.
Yes,
hello,
the gang's all here.
Yes.
We're a little late this week, but we're all here. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's why the show was kind of delayed this week. We couldn't all three get together until tonight. So we have so much now to discuss, especially since we delayed it one day, that I really wanted all of us to be here so we can all chime in on our thoughts.
Yeah, buckle up. It might be a two-parter.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was going to be a long show anyway, and then we got some news about a lawsuit here. Is that a lawsuit? Is that right? Is that what it is?
Lawsuit.
No. They're suing them, right?
They're suing.
Yeah, okay.
It's out there.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a second. Before that, I had some happy news, but this kind of the news that happened kind of puts a downer on anything we talk about tonight. Looking forward to an Apple Spring event, at least something to get your mind off of what else is going on. some new products are going to be announced on their website soon, and they may actually do an event. I don't know, but it'll probably happen in the next, 2 weeks, I would imagine. We should get some new iPads. That's what I was looking at.
Should be nice.
But
I'm very excited about that.
Well, I don't know if they're going to do an event and announce some other things, or they're just going to quietly put it on the website, right?
Yeah, we don't know. I don't think it's event worthy, is it?
Well, don't they always do a spring event though? I thought maybe not.
Well, no. If my mind serves me correctly, I thought the spring event was something relatively new. They did the big event in the fall and then the Worldwide Developers Conference in June. I thought the spring event was 5-6 years old max, but I could be told.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's usually new AirPods, new iPad, things that kind of fill in the gaps of the other stuff.
Right.
And sometimes, you get some Macs and some things, but don't know. Okay. Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room, shall we? The Department of Justice today announced its lawsuit against Apple over alleged monopolistic practices concerning the iPhone in particular. Now, it was filed by the U.S. Department of Justice, as well as 17 states. U.S. Attorney General Garland justifies the lawsuit by saying Apple will only continue to strengthen its smartphone monopoly if left unchallenged. I didn't know they had a monopoly, but okay. So the lawsuit specifically targets Apple for what the DOJ characterizes as limiting app growth, limited iPhone compatibility with non-Apple smartwatches, and excluding certain messaging apps, and more. Other details, they say here, that I'm reading this article from a 9to5Mac, they say seem outdated, which they are, accusing Apple of suppressing mobile cloud streaming services. Apple changed that policy against cloud gaming services earlier this year. And there's a few other things in there, I think, that they're a little behind on catching up with what Apple's been doing in this lawsuit. But still, it characterizes every competitive iPhone move Apple makes as being anti-competitive. This including CarPlay, FaceTime, news, entertainment subscriptions, local services, and more. I was a little surprised by that. I mean, I knew it was coming, but I didn't know what it was going to entail. And there's another article here where you can actually read the entire lawsuit, the document.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And I read it.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I read it today. And boy, first of all, let me list the states. New Jersey, Arizona, California, District of Columbia, Connecticut, Maine, Michigan, Minnesota, New Hampshire, New York, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Oregon, Tennessee, Vermont, and Wisconsin. So the attorney generals of those states have joined in on this, which are somewhat skewed along political lines, but
not 100%. Some
not 100, but
are outliers.
Well, let's just say there's a monopoly there.
There is.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, I read this and I was expecting a more detailed thing. A lot of this sounds, I don't know how to put this. It sounds like someone who's like a child who's angry. They're not getting their way and they're kind of stamping their feet and saying, oh yeah, but you did this and you did this and you did this. I mean, there's no concrete evidence of anything, and this is just all allegations without most of which are wrong, but maybe that's just me.
They're what is their share of the United States? 35%, 40% ish iPhones in the United States.
55%.
Oh, it's 55%. All right, well, that's a lot, but that's 45% they don't have. And remember, Windows in that lawsuit, what did Windows have, like 90% of the market?
Yeah, and that's another interesting thing, is they actually cite the whole Windows thing with Apple, which basically they're making a case that the DOJ created Apple's success, and now they're going to punish them for it. It's really weird. This seems like a bit of a stretch to me on a lot of these. I'm not saying Apple's perfect. Of course not. I'm not, I'm a professed Apple fanboy, but this is really reaching on some of these. I don't want to go point by point through this thing. We'd be here for the entire show. And you're probably going to hear a ton about this in other show. If you listen to other podcasts, they're all going to cover this, but it does go into the history of Apple, how, it's dominant iPhone platform. They seem to be saying they're too successful, and that there must be a reason other than they make a product that people want. And they're kind of pointing out these different things that they're not so much anti-competitive as I see people who are not as successful trying to take them down a notch, right? Complaining because of it. It's just weird. There's errors of facts in this.
Well, it's just accusation. They got to go to trial. They got to prove it.
Oh, sure. They have to prove this. But let me see if I can find the, because I briefly went through and marked after I read it what I thought was, talking about the App Store. Said Apple initially offered only a small number of apps that it created for the iPhone. That's true. But Apple quickly realized the enormous value that a broader community of entrepreneurial, innovative developers could drive to its users and the iPhone platform more broadly. Wrong. They were against apps. 100% Steve Jobs did not want apps third party on the phone. They were dragged kicking and screaming to do this by developers. But they painted as this is something Apple wanted to do. That's the kind of thing that gets me.
I mean, 90% of what you're reading anyway is there to get emotion, not to get fact. So It's all about, you know, getting the people to emotionally react.
And when they mention the price of a phone, of course, they go as high as $15.99. It's like they pick the biggest, most expensive model, right? Of course, completely glossing over the fact that there are lower cost options out there. And then when we, and I think everybody knows my stance on that, when they get into the whole 30% of the app store thing, that just, that pushes my buttons. It drives me nuts. Because it's only the millionaire companies, the companies that make millions of dollars, who pay the 30%. The majority of the individual developers are paying 15%, which is no more than any other place.
Have you gone to a concert lately, or a college or professional football game, and bought tickets online? You know what your fee is?
The fees.
So come on.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to get more worked up here the more I read
this. You are.
Because it's just ridiculous.
Well, Tom, the nature of a closed ecosystem too, though. I mean, you're doing things and you're vetting what goes in and what's out and what the type of experience it is. I mean, Apple's kind of set itself up for this type of thing. But, you know, it's in terms of the accusations and what people said and what senior executives had stated, some of the stuff that Merrick Garland like ran or read out during his presentation, I mean, those have to be proven and submitted. But man, it's like I can see some aspects of it as monopolistic behavior, but it is very, you know, that's competition. That's the way it is.
Well, that's where I think they're seeing competition as being monopolistic.
Sure.
Anyway, yeah, nobody's saying you have to have an iPhone. You can clearly buy another device.
There's other options, 100%, yeah.
And I would say at this point in time, there's probably very few apps available on the phone that are not available elsewhere, correct? It's not like you're going to be limited in what you can do, right? Don't most of the major apps develop for both platforms?
They do.
Yeah.
They do. And these things are typically... what, 10 or 15 year deals here to, you know, from, to get to end of game when it comes to the so let's see,
we'll be
1590 when they get this result.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be, what do we have? It'll be iOS, not 18, but iOS 180 by the time this is done. Okay. One of the things they mentioned here, I just thought this just, I have to play like a defense lawyer here, but Apple selectively compromises privacy and security interests when doing so is in Apple's own financial interests, such as degrading the security of text messages, offering governments and certain companies the chance to access more private and secure versions of app stores, or accepting billions of dollars each year for choosing Google as its default search engine when more private options are available. Really? I looked that up. There's more private options available. So they're basically saying that Apple is choosing Google as a default search engine because they're getting paid to do so, not because it's the most popular. But when I look it up, I searched what is the most popular search engine on Android phones. In February of 2024, Google accounted for 95.37% global mobile search engine market worldwide.
Man, I would have never guessed that.
Meanwhile, competitors like Yandex, Baidu, and Yahoo accounted for less than 1% each on a global scale.
Yahoo? Wow. Mm-hmm.
Talk about a monopoly. But there's that's the reason Apple chose them. It's not because, but yes, they're getting paid to do it. That's a business transaction. But it's because it's the most popular search engine. Why would they not have it on there? This is crazy. But we have years of this to come. As we mentioned,
Great.
Yeah, I know. As we mentioned, it's like when they sued Microsoft, that went on for years. Years and years.
It did.
Now here's, I do have to read Apple's response to this. They said, at Apple, we innovate every day to make technology people love, designing products that work seamlessly together, protect people's privacy and security, and create a magical experience for our users. this lawsuit threatens who we are and the principles that set Apple products apart in a fiercely competitive market. If successful, it would hinder our ability to create the kind of technology people expect from Apple, where hardware, software, and services intersect. It would also set a dangerous precedent empowering government to take a heavy hand in designing people's technology. We believe this lawsuit is wrong on the facts and the law, and we will vigorously defend against it. Well said.
Yeah, I could see like monopoly rules like against AT&T back in the day. If you wanted to get on it, you wanted to have a phone, you used AT&T. There was no other choice, right? I mean, U.S. Steel, all those type of really large kind of entities.
Built. Standard Oil.
Yeah, Standard Oil. Like, mm-hmm. But
if you're going to go way back, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to use an Apple device.
You don't.
It's kind of weird.
You don't. In fact, half the people in this country or more don't.
Exactly, right.
You know? I mean, anyway, yeah.
Well, more will come out, I think. Obviously, more is going to come out about what happened here and what's going on and what's behind it. Maybe during this sensor debacle that happened over the last 4 months, some people really pissed off some people at the government. They said, oh, here we go. We're going to make you pay for this. I don't know. This seems odd.
Well, what happened, from what I understand, this started during the Trump administration. And whoever, I forget his name, that Biden put in place here, picked it up and ran with it when the Biden administration.
The Attorney General?
Not Garland, someone else that was in charge of this.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and ran with it. And the 100% Biden administration's behind it. So they want to look like they're being tough on, and this isn't the only one, by the way. There's other big lawsuits to other big tech companies, either in the works or coming. So there was one part of this, though, I wanted to read. Mm-hmm. Now I can't find it, about the watch in particular. Because where is it? The lawsuit, let's see. No, I have to go to the actual lawsuit. Sorry. Let me call that back up. That was, I actually downloaded it. I downloaded a copy of it so I could read it clearly here and highlight it. Okay. When it talks about the watch. It also talks about the digital wallet. That they're saying they're in control over that and what you use and all of that. It's like, I thought I could put any credit card in there I want. They're talking about the bank putting their own digital wallet on your phone. Would you want to do that? Would you? Would you trust Chase or someone else having their app on your phone to do all your digital transactions through that way?
You do. No. You have an app.
Yeah.
You can.
Right. You know. So I don't know why this is a part of it, but it is. Mm. Here we go. Smartwatches are an expensive accessory that typically must be paired to a smartphone. Smartwatches can be paired with different smartphones, allowing users to retain their investment in a smartwatch when switching phones, thereby decreasing the literal cost associated with switching from one smartphone to another. First of all, I think they're misjudging how often people switch platforms here. Among other things, by suppressing key functions of third-party smartwatches, including the ability to respond to notification and messages and to maintain consistent connections with the iPhone, Apple has denied users access to high-performing smartwatches with preferred styling, better user interfaces and services, I can't say this with a straight face, or better batteries, and it has harmed smartwatch developers by decreasing their ability to innovate and sell products. Okay. Now, in response to this, Apple, and this, I got this info right before we started the show here. Apple says it spent 3 years trying to bring Apple Watch to Android. They confirmed that today for the first time. After a 3-year investigation, Apple says that it determined an Apple Watch with Android support wasn't doable because of technical limitations. As such, it scrapped the idea. And this aligns up with previous reports from Mark Gurman, who said that detailing Apple's plans, including some of the business considerations on bringing Apple Watch support to Android. So it's not like they didn't want to. it sounds like it was too much of a headache and not worth the effort here to get it to work.
I just Googled how many iPhone users migrate to Android yearly. And it showed up. It could be totally wrong. 13%.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a lot
higher than I thought.
Higher than I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was one source, so maybe it's 5%, maybe it's 18%, but it's not 50%, obviously. But it's smaller.
But isn't it equally difficult to do the opposite?
Yeah, I Googled the opposite, and I didn't get a number. I didn't get a number. Right.
But if I'm totally Android and have been forever, and I've got all my stuff through there, switching to the iPhone is going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like Android makes it easy, right? So anyway.
Android to iPhone was 11 to 15%. Apple to Android was 13 to 15%. It's like it's even Steven.
And that's what they are these days. You know, this isn't the early days of it. These are both mature platforms that are very similar to each other. I don't know. When the government gets involved with tech and things they don't quite know enough about, I worry.
You get this.
Yeah, you get this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else you want to mention on this story before we move on? We had a lot of other things to talk about.
But we do. The only thing I'll add is we're going to have an ongoing set of topics for a long time on this. So we'll buckle up and we'll just keep talking about it.
Yeah. And this is going to take some time to work out. I wish it was this kind of thing you could watch it won't be on Apple TV Plus, I know, but it'd be nice to be able to watch the courtroom proceedings on this just to see
a lot of information is going to come out.
That's right.
Yeah. Just to see their approach. And that's the other thing Apple probably doesn't want with this is now they're open to discovery of all this, that hurt Microsoft,
Yep.
But hey, speaking of fun times for Apple and lawsuits and payments and fines, Spotify got a judgment in their favor here. Apple was fined $1.95 billion for anti-competitive conduct against rival streaming music services in the EU. And following the ruling, Spotify praised the commission for its decision. The European Commission's investigation into Apple practices started due to a 2019 complaint from Spotify over App Store policies. Spotify has long railed against Apple's 30% fee and has complained that it is unfairly disadvantaged compared to Apple Music. But they also say in this article, it's worth noting that the scope of the investigation has changed several times. Well, Spotify complained over App Store fees, the requirement to use in-app purchase. The European Commission was unable to target Apple for those actions. Instead, they ended up pertaining to Apple's anti-steering rules, the rule that keeps Spotify from informing customers about lower prices on the web within the Spotify app. They're saying that Apple's restrictions prevented developers from letting iOS users know about alternative and cheaper music subscription services available outside the app and is illegal under the EU antitrust rules. Of course, Apple is going to appeal and claims that the EC's view is misguided and has been heavily influenced by Spotify's complaints. But a person writing in the comments of the, this is from Mac Rumors. I could not put it any better. This is Truth Steve. Okay, Steve's going to speak some truth here. Says Spotify thinks they should freeload off of Apple's success instead of risking billions on R&D of their own platform. Also, they don't want to go web only. They think Apple should front the server bill to serve billions of copies of their app updated weekly. They think Apple should run notification servers for free. They think Apple deserves $0 for putting them on the front page of the App Store, which gets half a billion visitors a week. They think Apple deserves $0 for constantly building and updating not perfect, but way better than other platform developer tools. And because somehow they think $99 a year ought to be enough to cover those costs, right? Never mind paying the human $20 an hour to review their app weekly. Stop whining, Spotify. Maybe you should start paying more to artists while you're at it, like Apple is doing. Another person said the company that would have never survived, let alone thrived, without the iPhone claims they've been stifled by Apple. Please go on. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And somebody else said, does Spotify alert its customers that YouTube Music is a cheaper alternative? I love it. Yeah. This is just crazy stuff.
You can use the 98.8% market share of Google to find out anything you want about pricing.
Yes, you can. But I have another question. We talked about this last episode, Chris, all the negative stuff coming out. Who's declared open season on Apple this year? Is it just me, or is it like every single episode we do now, there's some big hit to Apple like this? This year, it's like first of the year, boom, everybody attack Apple.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
It's crazy.
And it's you can't get more. You can't take bigger punches, I don't think.
But what happened, I wonder? Why now? You know, why is it all at once? Something happened with Apple's management or their lawyers or something. You know, something's going on. Because this is the sort of thing that would never get this far in the past.
They're vulnerable?
I don't know. Maybe.
You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Campaign contributions, maybe? That.
Well, I don't know. The lawsuit from the government that spans two different administrations. So it's not really that. I don't know.
Well, their stock kind of, you know, took a hit today.
Yeah, it did.
Oh yeah, all of these, any of these stories, you know, even earlier last year when they had the whole thing with the Pulse, the like, Massimo, company that happened too. You know, so this did actually start earlier. It's been like almost 6 months of this. It's crazy.
I'm sure there's a ton of other lawsuits that just we don't hear about as well. They just kind of either just pay off or squash.
Could be, but it seems like more are getting through now.
Sure.
And this has got to be distracting, right? How do they keep focus on what they're supposed to be doing, right? Mm-hmm. Which is making products, better products and software and services when they're distracted by all this stuff going on.
I wonder how many lawyers work for them.
Apparently not enough.
I guess so.
Vincent, it's now a lawyer's fees are now a line item in their yearly report.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. How much of your purchase goes to lawyers when you buy something from Apple, right?
It's got to be percentage points. It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah,
of revenue. I mean, it's got to be hundreds of millions of dollars.
But when you look back at the history of Apple, I'm telling you, these 6 months are going to stand out. Like, you know, when you look back at everything that's happened or is going to happen, I hope this will be an anomaly. This big, huge spike of a very bad year.
See the last. I know there's a lot. The three that stand out for me in my lifetime are IBM, Microsoft, and now Apple. Mm-hmm. And IBM, I'm guessing, was 15 or 20 years. What was Microsoft? 20 years? But before they finally settled that?
Oh, I don't know if it was that long.
Maybe
10 to 15 might have been.
It was early 90s to early – maybe 10, 10 or 12 years. Early 90s to early 2000s-ish, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. IBM, I thought, was like – late 70s to like mid 90s.
Yeah.
Cause I joined IBM as an employee when it was just all kind of clearing up. Right. So, and I remember people talking about it, and then this is 2024. So you're seriously looking at 2035.
Yeah, definitely in the 30s probably.
Yeah.
By the time this is, unless some agreement or settlement is done, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
There is that possibility. Don't know. All right, let's move on to more uplifting news here.
Yes,
a lot of
please.
A lot of other little things to talk about because we haven't done a show in a little while here. Here's some good news. If you got a lot of money, like a lot.
Oh man. Apple, let me just pick it up right here.
Yeah. Apple Card savings account. The balance limit has been increased to $1 million.
Yeah.
Did you get that email? Yeah. So it previously was 250,000, which is the maximum amount that the U.S. Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, would cover you in the event that Goldman Sachs went belly up. Any deposits above 250 up to the 1 million limit would not be covered by the FDIC in the event of a bank failure. However, you could only put 250,000 in before. So, hey, you know, you got another couple, half a million laying around. You can throw it all into this one account now. Now,
but it still won't be protected, right?
Only 250 of it would. Yeah.
Yeah. You just have to have four accounts.
Which you can't do. I don't think. You can just tie to your Apple ID, right?
Four different bank accounts together.
the family plan.
Maybe. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Because then you'd be getting the absolute maximum amount for your 4.5% interest.
You know, if you're like my age and you want to go conservative on your investments, put $1 million, you get 5%. That's $50,000 a year just sitting for you.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Right, 5%. It was at 4.5.
That's a big if, Chris. Yeah. if you have $1 million,
oh, that's true too. I mean, you got to have $1 million to do it. But I'm just saying, if
it's $45,000 a year.
$45,000 a year. No risk. Zero risk. Right.
Exactly. Well, unless the bank goes belly up.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what? 10 years ago, I'd have said that's not going to happen. But you know what? It could.
That's true. That is so true. It's happened before. But that's kind of interesting that they raised it. Now, there's other high yield savings accounts with limits above 250,000. And they put an example here, Goldman Sachs. They have another high yield account that allows a maximum balance of $1 million per account up to a total of $3 million. So, yeah. Now, do people with that kind of money, they don't leave it sitting in a savings account, right?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either.
Yeah. They're doing investments and they're saving that in tax shelters.
That's in an offshore account somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
this news is for the Apple lawyers.
Okay. Yeah. But that's interesting. They increased it up to $1 million.
Have you guys noticed though that there's more banks doing better interest rates now?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the market is kind of swizzled a little bit. Yeah, it swizzled a little bit. And because I don't have $1 million, but I have more money than I've ever had. Because my wife and I, we keep some money aside, right? It's gone now because we paid for a wedding. But
weddings will do that. Yeah.
It does. But I mean, heck, we had an Apple and we were making some, you know, respectable interest. And I looked at it every month going, hey, that's not bad, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shift it over to savings.
Yeah. If that's, you know, 4.5 guaranteed is nice.
Yes.
It's better than you're going to get at most normal. It's better than I got now at my normal bank savings. The only thing was that whole issue initially of getting your money out of the account. Remember?
Yeah.
I assume that they fixed that. Or they wouldn't be.
Yeah. We had a story about it, Tom. I thought they had a story that they fixed it.
Yes. Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Cause I have yet to, you know, I've just been my Apple Cash, right? Cash back, whatever you want to call it, has been going into that savings account and I've never tried to take it out. You know what I mean? Just leave it sitting there for now.
I have.
Oh, you have? Too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have. I've taken it out, put it into Robinhood, and it went down.
And you lost it. How long did it take to remove it, to transfer?
It took a day.
It was a day.
Business day?
Yeah. Yeah, business day.
Mm-hmm. What do? You just transfer it back into your normal bank account?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
So that's fairly accessible, right?
It was very accessible. It was no problem at all.
If you needed it right away. Yeah. Because it's not like you can walk into a bank and get it.
Right.
Speaking of Apple Savings and the Apple Card, the savings data will now be available in more third-party budget apps.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that, you know, those budgeting apps keep track, can now keep track of your Apple Card, Apple Cash, and savings figures. So apparently that wasn't available. I think Mint was one, but Mint got closed or rolled into Intuit Credit Karma. Mm-hmm. And there was suddenly no way to interface with all this info. Mm-hmm. Well, now with, I think it's iOS 17.4, Apple's allowing more third-party budgeting and financial health apps access to data for a user's Apple Card, cash, and savings. Okay. The ones I mentioned are Monarch, Copilot, and YNAB. Don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there'll be more coming.
That's good. I used Mint in the day, and I integrated everything into it, and it was nice to have one point of view for my total life assets. It was nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did you do when they went away?
Stopped doing it, to tell you the truth.
But I mean, you weren't worried about your data and all that in there?
Oh, yeah, fair point. No, now you got me worried.
Sorry.
It's just...
Yeah, I worry, you know, when you give all that to some third party and something happens to them. Yeah, especially if they get hacked or something, you know, but anyway.
Yeah, well, that's always a risk.
That is.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even your banking gets hacked.
It's a double-edged sword, though. It was probably amazing for you, Chris, to have all that data right there, like a snapshot of everything.
It was,
But it's also very frightening that it's all right there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah. There's the other side of it, too. I can see that.
Quicken is the other offline alternative. It's just an app on your machine that pulls data down.
Okay. That's good. But they don't have access to this, right? Not yet.
I don't know. Maybe not. It's an API connection. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to some watch news here. Some other good news. Apple is apparently still planning to do a micro LED Apple Watch Ultra. And we talked about it being possibly killed, that entire project, because the supplier, Osram, announced that their contract or whatever or project was unexpectedly canceled. It turns out Apple's just looking for another supplier. And it says the chip may have been replaced due to a drop in performance. And Apple may have already found a replacement for Taiwan or China, which is ahead in the micro LED field. So it wasn't a matter of them not wanting to do it. It was a matter of the company not being able to do it for them.
Right.
So
it makes a lot of sense to move to micro LED, considering your battery life and all that.
Everything.
And all the different form factors and everything else. So you have to move there.
Yeah. And the other thing I heard was that, again, all rumors, but because none of this we know for sure. Is that the watch may actually not be the first thing that they want to do micro LED with. It may in fact be the Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah.
But maybe the cost can't be quite right yet for the watch. But all right.
I kind of want to see it side by side. See whether or not it's actually a huge difference or not.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you'll see it in September. I think they do it. It's going to be, you know, another version of the watch. Although this would have been the perfect one to do it with the watch being the 10, right? The big 10 number they tried to do something special with. But
I'm just saying. I mean, I've never actually seen a micro LED in real life. To see what that actually looks like in terms of resolution.
And brightness and
maybe the next CES.
They haven't even demoed it there, have they?
I don't know. I think they have.
Have they?
Yeah.
Somebody had to it by now.
Sure.
I think it's a what I like this week deep dive from Vincent coming up.
I will go forth and find out.
What is micro LED and why do you want it? Right.
I'm a sales guy. I would never understand that. So you got to put it in really my language, which is really easy and simple. It's brighter.
Very small LEDs.
Yeah.
They're kind of like micro, right? Okay.
And they're blue, green, and red, right? And they can make them on the spectrum or something like that.
There you go.
each LED is like a little Apple Watch Ultra in itself, right?
See, you guys, you got it. Marketing people, right? You guys got it.
That's it. So it's what is it? How many micro LEDs can you fit on a watch face?
A million, right? A billion? Lots. Million?
So it's instead of how many of our songs in your pocket, it's a million micro LEDs on your wrist. Yeah. Yes. That's it. That's the new marketing. Okay. What else is going on? We got some new iPhone cases and Apple Watch Band colors. Yay, spring. Ooh. Right? This, again, every year. But they debuted the new spring colors for the iPhone 15 cases. However, they note in this article, there wasn't any new colors for the fine woven cases.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
there's a clue for you in there. So the new colors for the cases are sunshine, light blue, soft mint, and pink. And these are available for the silicone cases across the entire iPhone 15 lineup. And we got new watch band colors today, or whenever this came out. This was earlier this week or last week, I think, with different styles of bands. So the Solo Loop now comes in an ocean blue, soft mint, and pink. The Sport Loop is an ocean blue and soft mint. The Sport Band is soft mint, sunshine, and light blue. And the braided Solo Loop comes in sunshine, light blue, and raspberry. Very nice.
It's very spring names.
Oh, yes. Very colorful spring. So if you're looking for some new stuff, I'll have a little bit more on this later on, what I like this week. If you can't figure out what that might be. Stay tuned.
I'm going to guess.
Yeah, stay tuned. But what I also thought was interesting, because you don't see this very often, there's a new band that Apple announced as well for spring. And this is an Hermes band, an all new knitted tricot band available in four color options. And this is a, it's a single tour, and they describe it as a knitted textile band that comfortably hugs the wrist like a glove. Wait, the glove goes on the hand, not the wrist. Anyway,
a wrist glove.
It's patterned on the 1930s era Hermes gloves created for driving, sailing, and golf. The tricot band takes what was old and makes it new again. The continuous textile knit comfortably hugs the wrist, imparting both a freedom of movement and a sense of elan. A sense of elan. That is wonderful. I love that. A sense of elan. That's what you want in your band, right? That's what I look for, is a sense of elan, I'll tell you. Apparently Hermes already sells a number of tricot accessories like neckties and other things. And those are made of 100% silk, but this band is made of polyamide yarn. Polyamide is waterproof and enables the band to be used when swimming. So that's pretty cool. Obviously they could make it out of silk, right? That would not be good. It's available in blue jean, BLEU, blue jean, Jean de Naples, orange. I can say that one. And, beige de Weimar. So four different colors. Now it's only compatible with 38, 40 and 41 millimeter. Models, not the 45.
You don't see that very often, do you?
No, 44. No. So I'm like, you know, I was going to buy a dozen of these, and now I can't.
Oh, yeah.
It's only $349.
If I can't pronounce the name, I'm not buying it.
You know what, though? Looking at it, this is one of the few Hermes bands I'd buy.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
It is. I'll tell you, it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't want the triple tour?
No, thank you.
Yeah, they just
too much tour.
So odd to me. Right.
too much tour.
Cut down on the tour there, man.
too much tour, I think.
Yeah, way too much tour for me.
Do you guys wear like sunshine let me just say normal colors, yellows and reds and bright color bands? Do you guys wear those?
Depends on the season.
Okay. I wear reds. white maybe sometimes. Yeah.
I mean, in the summer, you're hanging out at the pool. Any color's fine, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
I'm about the same, by the way. So
depends on the occasion. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll find out here shortly at the end of the show.
Yes, you will.
Which ones I actually got. So. All right, moving on. A diver has found about 200 Apple Watches in Indiana lakes.
Yeah, what is that?
That's crazy.
Yeah, this Illinois diver, he's recovered about 200 Apple Watches from the bottom of lakes, has a warning. Don't go swimming with the original watch bands. In particular, we're talking about the fluorastomer. Right,
the sport one, right? They had a whole bunch regular of Nike ones.
The regular sport bands. Yeah. He said they do not stay on in water, and he has 200 of them to prove it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he finds everything. He's found all kinds of. I mean, there's a photo here of just all the stuff he's found, from phones, prescription sunglasses, rings, cameras, all the, and there's this massive pile of watch bands with the silicone bands. It's pretty funny.
I wonder if you could do the same thing with magnet fishing.
Magnet fishing? What do you mean?
Yeah. You heard of that? Like you toss a hugely powerful magnet into the middle of the water.
Ooh.
And then you just drag it up. Probably collect about a few Apple Watches there.
Yeah. How much, you might find something.
How much of the underwater life do you kill with that magnet?
Is that
Is it too strong? Yes.
Look at all those GoPros too, man.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Look at all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think the sunglasses might be the best thing there, right? I mean, there's some nice stuff. To me, it looked like a layout of like when you see in movies or on the police, like the drug bust.
Yes.
I was like, that's one heck of a drug bust right here, but it's all electronics.
Yeah. I'll put a link in the show notes so everybody can see the photo we're talking about here.
I'm sure those bands are still usable.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, look at those. You got Nike band.
Some of the watches are probably still usable too. He tries to return them to the owner. That's cool. Yeah. He tries when he recovers them, he tries to get them back to the owner. He said one thing he found was a white gold Cartier ring. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's got to be expensive.
I've lost some things in the water. I'm sure both of you have too. So,
yeah.
Never my watch, though. I say that. Never watch.
Yeah. I may have told this story before. I remember we're up in Michigan in the lake at my brother-in-law and my sister's house. And my son was, gosh, I don't know. I think he was like 3 at the time or something. But he has this pontoon boat. And their pontoon boat is docked, right? It's tied to the dock. And my brother-in-law has my son in his lap and they, you know, playing with the steering wheel or whatever. And my son reaches over and takes the key out of the pontoon boat and just tosses it in the water. That's the only key he had.
Without the big buoy at
nothing.
The end of it?
Well, it did afterwards. Yes. And we all spent quite a bit of time searching. Yeah, there's only a couple of feet of water, but it's still hard to find a key and all of that. And we did find it, but yeah, it's like about searching for something underwater. Like
that. That's when you need a magnet.
That magnet would have come in handy, you know?
That's exactly right.
I think the biggest float you can buy for a keychain was attached to it after that. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Just, but the way he just like plunk, there it goes. Okay.
Yes.
Just did it for fun. All right, what else is going on here? We mentioned the ghost touch that I had witnessed. I don't know, neither one of you had witnessed it, but it was the freakiest thing to see your watch just start almost working like remote control or some AI is scanning your watch because it's doing all these crazy things. You could never touch it that quickly, right? You couldn't go through the menus that fast. It was nuts. But anyway, Apple released watchOS 10.4, which apparently solves this problem. And it also has, what does it have? The ability to disable double tap feature on the Apple Watch when you're using the Vision Pro. And that bug fix, and then a bunch of new emojis I think we got for the watch. So anyway. Get that update.
Something.
So there's somebody sitting at Apple just making emojis. That's fun.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
So I want to know which Ghostbuster they called to get rid of this. See, that's timely. There's a movie coming, and never mind.
There is, isn't there?
Yeah, there is next week. Yeah, or this week or whenever.
Oh,
Frozen Empire or something like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the original cast.
Yeah, I saw the preview. I'll definitely watch that.
Yeah.
At the movie theater too. Not even on streaming. I'll go pay money if it's at the movie theater.
You know, they don't have a great track record other than the first movie, but
they don't.
You know, maybe they're due. I don't know.
But I was little when the first movie came out. It gives me nostalgia. It really does. Because it kind of reminds me of being younger when that first movie came out. Mm-hmm. So everyone I go see, that one that was the last one where it was the kids, that wasn't that bad. It wasn't bad.
No, that was a pretty good one. And this is a follow-up to that, obviously. So
yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, let's move into patent territory here.
Got
to
do that.
A couple of things to talk about. Mm-hmm. Apple invents a practical iMac design with a tilting touchscreen for artists.
I thought of this years ago.
Yes.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Totally. They totally need to do it. I mean, it's kind of very much like the Microsoft Surface.
Although,
yeah, right.
Although, reading this article from Patently Apple, Apple patented theirs prior to Microsoft's, but they never developed it.
Right.
They covered this back in 2010, a patent for this.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they never made it.
Steve was very opposed to the touching the screen with your arm being too heavy to reach out to kind of thought. Yeah. So that kind of killed any development, I think, of a big touchscreen iMac. And then maybe they did some prototypes and didn't like it. I don't know.
The tilt down matters.
Yeah. Now there's two other things to this. There's also a built-in kind of a carrying handle that would be built into the iMac to make it more transportable, like a little suitcase. And that, see, that goes back to Apple's roots, right? Some of the early...
suitcase?
The first Mac was designed with a handle so you could carry it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of gets back to some of those things. So this is a pretty innovative design, the way it like folds or disappears into the case.
Yeah. All the Macs always had some sort of handle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was sort of kind of cool.
And then you can attach a stand to this as well. They show how that works. And then the base of it, there's going to be some, a sort of charging surface, that you can charge, an Apple Watch, an iPhone, or even an iPad with a slide in slot. So, some pretty wild designs for a new Mac we might see down the road. Pretty cool. I'll put a link in the show notes for that, too, so you can see what that looks like.
If you use pencil on it and all that stuff, that's be one in my future.
Yeah. I mean, to be able to use it like a normal one and just be able to tilt it down and start drawing. Oh, that'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I wanted the bigger iPad, and that would be it, right? That would be it. I'm the one who was, you know, I got the very first, the big one, right, the Pro. Which I still have. That's kind of why I'm looking at the new iPads they may have out this spring were kind of enticing to me because mine's getting kind of old there. But, you know, that I wanted it bigger. There was rumors of them always doing an even bigger one, you know. I always thought that'd be cool. But let's see. What else we got in the patent or not quite real territory here? What am I missing here? Did I skip a story? I might have skipped a story here. Hold on.
We got the sensors. Bunch of sensors.
Yeah, wait a minute. Mine's not loading. That's why. I might have it a blank page here. Where'd it go? No, that's not it. I'm missing it. Oh, here it is. No, that's not it. they're going to add a bunch of different types of sensors.
Right.
Oh, here it is. Looks beyond health for a large array of future Apple Watch sensors. Look at this list. I knew I was going to mess it up. Anemometer, a bolometer, a heat flux sensor, solar radiation, thermometer, and water sensor. Wow. And it's funny they say that maybe Apple's just had enough of being sued by medical firms, but these are not necessarily health sensors. They're for other things. So an anemometer detects airspeed and wind direction. And a bolometer measures...
Is it a bolometer or a bolometer?
Oh, might be bolometer. You're right. It might be. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It measures radiant heat. So and both the heat flux sensor and the thermometer measure heat levels. So there's some pretty interesting things in here as to how this stuff works. So they could actually measure, and this is kind of cool, airspeed could be used in combination with fitness applications and weather sensing or forecasting temperature measurement and or desired functions. So to calculate a user's power output while exercising in the wind. One of my least favorite things when I go for a run is when I have to go against the wind, I can't stand it. It just drives me nuts that the it's like somebody's pushing me back constantly, right? Holding me back. I'd like to get credit for that extra work. And it sounds like this might do that.
Right.
Let's see. The way it works, a layer of metal may be coupled to the device housing, or a strand of metal may be incorporated into a mesh that covers one or more components, such as a speaker or microphone, inside the electronic device. The layer or strand of metal may be heated to a known temperature, and the decay of the temperature of the metal back to an equilibrium temperature may indicate the airspeed. Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing.
Math.
Yes. So it's like if we heat it to this temperature, and then they measure how long it takes to cool down, they can determine how the airspeed. That's...
Unless it's a hot wind like in Houston.
I was going to say, unless you're in a hurricane, that might be a little different, or a tornado. But pretty cool. Yeah, different sensors to cram into the watch. Why not? Give us some more things to do. Love that. Love that kind of stuff. It's just it's fun how somebody thinks about this and develop it. It's pretty cool. What else is going on here? We got an Apple Watch study reveals which states exercise the most and the least. This is the Apple Heart and Movement Study, a collaboration between American Heart Association and Harvard Medical School affiliate Brigham and Women's Hospital. They explore connections between physical activity and heart health using the Apple products. Let's see. They're talking about the guideline is you should be getting 150 minutes of moderate aerobic exercise per week, 75 minutes of rigorous aerobic exercise, or a combination of both, in addition to 2 days of muscle strengthening activities. So they did a study, over 92,000 people all over the country over a 12-month period were analyzed. And based on that, Massachusetts, New York, and Connecticut were the highest, the top three states.
Right. Yeah.
And the bottom three were Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Mississippi. And they say there's a lot of reasons for these discrepancies, including living in a walkable city versus a rural area, having access to the outdoors, varying income levels, and more.
Sure.
So lots of reasons that would turn out that way. But
I don't know, but at the state level, it's kind of tough. I mean, I figured being much more granular would be helpful.
Yeah, but I can see where Massachusetts, New York, and Connecticut seems like more of walking areas to me, right? Bigger in the cities and stuff.
I typically see great
distances between stuff. Whereas Louisiana, Oklahoma, Mississippi, you're going to be driving more than probably walking, right?
Yeah.
So it could kind of makes sense, I guess.
I mean, you know, Illinois, California, Oregon, and Colorado had heavy use too. And Colorado is probably pretty wide open.
Right. But a lot more probably outdoor activities there, right?
There are. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But yeah, it's I don't know. I don't know if this means anything really. Now that I think about it, doesn't really tell us much, does it?
Aerobic exercise.
Because it's funny too, those Northeast states, like 5 months out of the year, it's crazy cold and ugly up there. So it's
right.
Indoor or outdoor,
yeah.
Right?
So yeah.
It's odd.
Yeah. So
you can have aerobic exercises indoor too.
Sure. That's what I mean.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yeah.
So I guess to Tom's point, I'm not really sure what I meant by that comment.
You know what? Let's forget this whole story. Let's move on.
Get some exercise, folks.
Yeah.
Look at Alaska, though. Alaska was on the upper end. Come on.
I'm sorry. I thought this would be interesting when I marked it for the week, but you know what? It was a busy week. It doesn't really count. Okay.
No, Tom, we have to do it next week. Do it the first story, not the last story.
There you go. That's what we have to do. Yes. Okay. Another thing here, very big kind of, not really a big surprise, but it's kind of interesting to see how it developed. You know, the whole Apple Watch pulse oximetry thing that Apple hasn't been selling, the Apple Watch Ultra 2 or the Series 9 with the blood oxygen feature since mid-January. And we thought they might reintroduce it later. Well, new information from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection confirm that reactivation is indeed a possibility. So Apple has said that it hard-coded each Apple Watch at the factory with new software. And apparently Massimo, who sued them over this and made them create the ban, didn't want Apple to have such an easy fix. So it paired the redesigned Apple Watches with a jailbroken iPhone running an older version of iOS and was able to get the pulse oximetry working. So they tried to argue that if it works through a jailbroken phone, it means Apple has not effectively removed the feature and the device should not be allowed to be imported in the U.S. They also tried to say that jailbreaking is permissible, common, and readily known. They said that with a straight face. But their arguments were unsuccessful. But it does prove that Apple could simply do a software update in the future to turn it back on.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of what we thought was going on has now been confirmed.
So does this mean that Massimo got nothing? They got nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it looks like that way. Right.
And
right.
I'm sure that's what Apple's plan was all along, is to not. Mm-hmm. I think Massimo's plan all along was settlement, right?
Sure.
We're going to get a settlement. We're going to get a check. And it didn't happen. Apple found a way around it, sort of.
But Massimo, it's not like it's a $10 million company. Isn't it multi-billion dollar company?
Oh yeah, it's up from there.
Because of other settlements that they've received.
Is it really
in the past? Yeah, big ones.
Okay,
million.
Well, no, that would not be revenue, Tom.
Oh, right?
That would be that. What would that count on in your? Where would you put that in your financials?
I have no idea. what would you call that?
I mean, they're big
donations?
Company on their own.
No,
yeah, donations.
it was a government
gambling
donation.
winnings.
That's what it is.
Yeah, gambling, and they have to pay taxes on it.
But
no, they're multi at least a billion on their own. So they're a big company. It's not like they're going to go under and they needed this.
Yeah,
but I bet they needed this.
I bet they were counting on it.
Yeah,
they're counting on it. You could tell by the way that the terminology and how they made their.
Their market cap is $7 billion.
Right.
I mean, there you go.
They're not hurting. No.
Yeah.
This isn't going to make or break the company, but okay. Let's see. According to Duke scientists, I love this idea, by the way. We talked about this in the past. They're studying if your watch can let you know if you're sick before you know you're sick.
That's right.
Yeah. So what they've done is this they've reached out to 350,000 people for the study. This isn't a small sampling here, for respiratory illnesses in particular. Everyone they contacted was tested through Duke Health for either COVID-19, the flu, or RSV between 2018 and 2023. Data from their smartwatches then is being analyzed during the time they were sick. The goal is to build a tool that can detect early signs of infection before a person might even have any symptoms of being sick. The idea would be that it could prevent someone from going out and spreading the infection unknowingly. So they're currently looking at, what is it, Apple Watch, Samsung, Garmin, and Fitbit. Data from heart rate, movement, sleep, temperature, and oxygen levels. So they, that's pretty cool if they can actually get an algorithm that'll do that.
Yeah. I mean, especially with AI, it's going to bake it in. It's going to know.
See, that's exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That your watch will actually notify you. You know, right now I get a notification on my watch that says it's going to rain in, you know, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I want a notification on my watch that says you're coming down with something, you might want to stay home.
I agree.
And here's, yeah, go see a doctor or whatever. Your temperature looks abnormal. You know, I want those kind of warnings ahead of time. It's why you wear the thing, right?
With well, all I the think sensors on it. We've had a number of stories over the years, and we've talked about we're going to get there. We're just getting closer and closer.
Right.
And right. I think, just think if, of course, people have to listen to it. You know how it is, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, I might be getting sick, and then you go do something like, oh crap, I'm getting sick, and you've, you know, been out in public and 10 other people you've gotten sick, right? So I guess what I'm getting at is just think if it really is to the point that it's so effective that it can, you know, keep you from getting 5 other people sick who get 5 other people sick, right? Maybe in the medical world it could really be helpful.
Or yeah,
Apple's never going to release it. They're going to get sued for causing sickness.
yeah. For having a monopoly on identifying sickness. All the doctors are going to sue them because they're going to. Anyway, I think what would really be interesting is not just to stop you from spreading it, but to help you treat it early so it doesn't get as bad as it can, right?
Absolutely,
when you ignore it.
Right,
so
right.
I would love that. And I think we're going to see that in the next, I don't know, 5 or 6 years.
I think it's going to be sooner than that.
You do? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You're more optimistic than me.
That's going to be a lot of AI out there in everything.
Oh, that's true. The AI will accelerate it, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
And if it can like recommend what to do, like, hey.
Yes.
3 a leave would be fine, Chris. Or
file your sick leave or your vacation.
or hit the doctor now. Call that number and get to the doctor.
That's right.
Well, yeah. Even if it does something as simple as let you know that you can then take action, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of some sort. Either call your doctor or if you know kind of it's that time of year and normally I get a really bad cold and it lets me know ahead of time there's stuff I can do to help make it not so severe, right?
You can exercise.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, yeah.
Go but exercise no. And wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Constantly wash your hands. Anyway, exciting stuff. I think you're right. When you combine it with AI, it could be really, really cool. All right, speaking of health, still in this train of thought here, the Vision Pro was used in a surgery to eliminate human error. This was in the UK. It describes how it was used in surgery. The spatial computer described as a game changer. It was first used last month by U.S. neurosurgeon Dr. Robert Masson in an operation. The headset was said to eliminate human error by ensuring that correct processes and instruments were used throughout the operation. So it wasn't worn by the surgeon. It was worn by a scrub nurse known as a theater nurse. The role of the scrub nurse is to prepare all the necessary instruments and equipment, including microscopes, lasers, and endoscopes, working with the surgeon to provide instruments, needles, swabs, and other materials, responsibility for the surgical instruments, equipment, and swabs, and act as a link between the surgical team and the other parts of the theater and hospital. And then I think this was a quote here. They say that the real benefit... Oh, no, sorry, that was a comment. The surgeon said that because the scrub nurse could see all of the information from the surgery plan, referencing it in real time during the operation, it effectively allowed them to work as efficiently as someone who had worked alongside him for years. Hmm. And this was someone he'd just worked with that one time. He said it's like a superpower for his operating team. The equivalent of a Formula One pit crew.
Hmm.
That's pretty cool. That he said it turned a scrub nurse he had never worked with into someone with 10 years experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she was watching a movie at the same time.
It was amazing. She got
email.
Out, and she checked her email. And she...
she was doing the surgery from the top of a mountain.
Yeah. She sent out a newsletter while they were doing it. She did. She live streamed it. No, it was... But what is pretty cool, because you hear these horror stories of end of the surgery, there's an instrument missing. Right? Right?
Good point. Good point.
Yeah.
Yes.
I bet this could keep track of that a little better. No, but if it makes it more efficient and easier to do. Now, the comment I started to read a little too early here, someone said that was probably basically an iPad app that they already had.
Right.
But the benefit of the Vision Pro lets you have floating apps. And with eye and hand gesture input, you never have to touch the device. So it's more hygienic in an operating room than an iPad with a touch screen and gloves and all that. And more precise control. The nurse essentially has hand-free information. They can quickly shift from picking up a tool to checking a checkbox and a process list, all that kind of stuff without touching anything. That's pretty cool.
Well, I assume that the surgery was less than the battery life.
Yes, yes, you would have to hope. Though it's probably plugged in. They're probably plugged in at the time, just for safety.
I would guess that's 100%. I would
make sure I signed a document that said they had to have it plugged in. No, go ahead.
Keep me plugged in.
Yes.
So is the Vision Pro going like the Apple Watch? You know, Johnny Ive, I wanted $20,000 watches. It turns into a fitness device. Vision Pro, $3,500 turning into a surgical device.
No, I think this is just one of many, many things that people will find a use for it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was being facetious, but that
no, yeah, yeah.
This is really creative because I'm, you know, it's not an extremely long story, and I was wondering what the genesis was. Who kind of thought through this and figured this out? It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, obviously some people who are really into this sort of surgeons or whatnot was looking when it was first announced, said, hey, I got a use for that, you know? It is amazing how technology in the right hands of the right doctors and healthcare people can help tremendously with patients. I remember when the iPad first came out, there was this one app, a health thing that did like, I can't think of the name of it, but you could like tap on like a knee and it would give you an exploded view of the knee and you could 360 turn it around and move the layers and all that kind of stuff. And I remember at the time I was having knee surgery done, arthroscopic, a torn cartilage in my knee. And I showed that to the doctor. I said, this is amazing. You need to get an iPad and show your patients this because you can explain it so much better as to what needs to happen in the surgery, right? You can see it. And so that was way back then. So yeah, now that you could wear it and go through it all, it's just, wow. Technology and surgery. Pretty cool. Now I don't want AI doing my surgery, but hey.
Oh, it will.
Someday.
Yeah, it will, won't it? Yeah, I bet it will.
It'll help them.
Yeah. Okay, what else we got here? A few more quick stories. I don't even know what that one was. it's like this. I had something marked and it defaulted back to its homepage, so I have no idea what that story was. Okay. Still on health.
The manual specs.
The what? No. Still on health here. Apple Watch Series 10 is rumored to offer limited blood pressure monitoring. Mm-hmm. Now, let's not get too excited about this, because that is something that would be amazing. What it will gain is the idea to detect trends in your blood pressure. It will only alert you for upward trending in blood pressure rather than offer exact readings. You could see this in September, according to.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to call it.
To Mark Gurman.
You can't really say blood pressure. I have to say like.
Yeah, what would you call it?
It's a some kind of warning. It's just a. Indicator. Yeah.
That might be another term they have to use.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so.
Because it's not pressure, but it is. Yeah, I don't know exactly how the sensor would work. It can detect trends in blood pressure. That's all it says.
It'll have neural in it somehow.
Yes. So. AI will help with that. So cool. We'll look forward to that. Cause that may be coming to a watch near you soon.
That'll be worth it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we want to talk about, you want to talk about CarPlay or not?
Ooh, CarPlay is a whole nother ball.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot
happening. I use it every day.
Let's just say there's a whole new thing coming this year.
Yeah.
The interface. And it's got a whole new meaning now because Apple has dropped the car.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is now their entire auto game is based on this.
Right.
So there's going to be more pressure for this to work. It is kind of interesting that Android, what they've done, they went from, what was it, Android Automotive. They used to have Android Auto, which does basic things, but you have to have a phone. Then they created Android Automotive, which is an actual OS that is downloaded to the car. So every time you get in it, you don't even need the phone for it to mm-hmm. work with it. And Apple couldn't do that because Apple designed chips and other proprietary technology like displays are necessary for that to work. So they their next step like this is this new version of CarPlay that's coming out this year, where it will take over certain screens of the vehicle, more than just the one main screen that you see for navigation and stuff like that. It'll take care of the speedometer and all the other interfaces in the car, but it's a slow rollout. Right now, what two high-end cars are they? So far, Porsche and Aston Martin are the only two, because they have to create each one customized for each car.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. That's to me, that's a game plan that isn't going to work, because by the time you customize it, the car is going to change, a new model will be out. You know,
right?
It just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with that.
Apple does well when they control both the hardware and the software, and this is not it.
No, but it was supposed to be the next step to them doing their own car.
Yeah.
And that's not happening now. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. What else? Minor thing, your Apple ID is going to go away. How's that for a clickbait headline?
Yeah.
It's going away. It's now going to be called Apple Account. So they're changing the terminology. That branding will start later this year, both online and in their new major OS releases for both the phone and the watch. So, because right now, I think with their funds that you add to an Apple ID, they call it an Apple account balance. So they're going to keep the same terminology. Mm-hmm. It's going to be called your Apple account.
That's actually better. I like it better.
Yeah, that's fine. But the comments here on this article, practically every one of them is now if they could only merge accounts. It's like you can do all this great stuff, but you won't let me merge accounts, which is so true. It's frustrating for people who had older accounts and different things. They can't merge them. You've got to work them separate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's coming. What else? Okay, let's talk about AI. Apple is in talks to license Google Gemini AI for the iPhone, in particular, I think, for Siri. This is a report from Bloomberg that claims Apple's in talks with Google to license Gemini.
Yeah, they had dinner together.
They had dinner together? Okay.
Yeah, no, cooked in Pinchai, right?
Really?
Yeah, they had dinner together.
Oh, okay.
Really?
They were busted.
Well, maybe that's Apple's fast-tracked into AI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's license it until we do our own, right? Although they bought some big company, too, recently.
Yep.
Darwin AI, yep. I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, isn't Gemini the one that just gotten horrible PR mess with the images
right.
that are completely wrong of kind of racial issues there?
Mm-hmm. Little left leaning, yeah.
Yeah, a little crazy is what it was. So they got, you know, let's fix that hiccup first before we talk about licensing this thing, okay? Let's get it right. So anyway, yeah, kind of exciting. That'll fast track Apple's foray into AI. Let's see what else. Apple launched an all-in-one manuals, specs, and downloads website. I'll put a link in the show notes for this one.
Pretty exciting stuff there.
Oh, let me tell you, it's all there. Click on a product and off you go, right? It is kind of nice to put it all in one place, right?
It is. Does anyone ever use these? Do you guys ever use a manual for any of your Apple products ever?
I can never find them. Now I know where they are.
I can always Google it, Tom. It's always going to be somewhere.
Yeah, but then it's like it's not as elegant to know what version of the what version of, you know, your phone or your AirPods, and you got to look it up and do all, you know. This at least is you're going to the source, right? Directly to it.
So, right. I guess so.
Yeah.
For me, it's YouTube. I want to learn something. I go to YouTube and there's 10 videos on it. I'm done. It's nice. It's all in one place. And there's actually people writing these documents at Apple, but I'm guessing they look at how many times they're downloaded and read, and there's not very many. But you got to have them, I guess, right?
Okay. So I'm clicking on it right now. And when I click on watch as a category, identify your watch model, pick a model. So let's say the Apple Watch Ultra. I got the documents are the user guide, the Ultra user guide, the Apple Watch user guide, Apple Watch Ultra info, and Apple Watch Ultra 2 info. And then there's tech specs, the year it was introduced. So if I click user's guide, it's the full guide here. Big on the screen. Yeah. Nice. Support, everything is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife writes manuals.
Okay. So, yes. Okay.
This is her thing.
Yeah. Wow. Did she see this?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Show it to her.
She doesn't read them either.
See what she thinks. She what? She doesn't read them either? Well, she has to read them at least once, right?
She has to. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, new documentation page. So it's a guide, repair manuals, tech specs, software downloads, and more, all of that in one place. So that sounds like a little house cleaning in the website to me.
Yeah.
Never
knew they even had it.
Yep.
Okay. Same here. I've never used one, never looked at one, never even thought about looking at one.
All right. So final story here. I promise this is from The Onion. Apple unveils new Apple Vision Pro Mini. It's a photo of a guy with an Apple Vision Pro balanced on the top of his nose. When it comes to spatial computing, the Apple Vision Pro is just the first step, and our latest model fits right in your pocket, says CEO Tim Cook, gasping as he used a pair of tweezers to remove the prototype device from the watch pocket of his jeans. Yeah. For only $39.99, you can squint into this little guy and be completely transported to a virtual world made up of how many ever many pixels you can make out through the tiny lenses. That's pretty funny.
It is.
I do wish they come up with a monocle. That would be cool.
Yeah, this almost looks like that, doesn't it? You know what I first thought of, though, when I saw this photo? And I'll put a link in the show notes. It's pretty funny. The photo of this guy with it on his nose. I think of Steve Martin's The Jerk. Right.
Oh, yeah.
He invented that little grip on the top of the glasses that made everybody go cross-eyed.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking of when I look at this.
I'm just thinking about the guy, the model that did this. He's like, how do you want me to do this? He's like, serious, man. Just look like you own it. And he's like,
no,
okay, I can do that. Right?
No, it's AI generated. That's not a real person.
Oh, okay.
they don't need models anymore. They have AI.
Well, they got to pay the guy, right? Or is it a fake person?
It's a fake person. It's made up. They don't have to pay anybody.
What if you look really like the guy? Do you have to pay him if he really looks like you?
Nah, maybe. Have a twin, right?
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to what we like here in just a minute. But first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. So check out our page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this show possible. All right, moving on to what we like this week. Why don't you kick it off here, Chris?
Hi, Tom. Well, what I like this week is a podcast, and I sent you guys a screenshot. I was doing a ton of painting in my house over the weekend. It's awesome. I catch up on podcasts, and it's, you know, really fun. But I caught this one on Business Wars called Apple Watch versus Samsung. And it only had 3 episodes, and then it had a 4th episode with the interview of a couple people from the media, which is kind of interesting. But I'll give you a real quick overview and then a little bit about each episode. First of all, when it was over, I'm like, Apple Watch crushed Samsung, right? I was like, they spent, you know, 3 hours going through all this interesting stuff. And like the end, it was like one major, I'm trying to give an analogy that everyone in the world might know, but I'm going to make it up in the United States. It'd be like, you know, a football game that was like 35-7, right? It was nothing. But they had a lot of good points in this story. So 3 episodes. First episode was a lot about Samsung, which I found extremely interesting, about how Samsung became Samsung. And do you guys know how they started?
Samsung was
fruit stands on the side of the road.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And then obviously the father built it up. The son took it over, and there's a lot of, you know, Sun stuff that happened after that. But so I learned a lot about Samsung, and that was a lot of the first episode. The second episode was a lot about Apple Watch, and they really went into a lot of the details of a lot of things I kind of knew from the books and the documentaries I've seen, and Johnny Ive driving the watch to the fashion side. It was good. The third one was kind of the head-to-head, and when it was all said and done, you know, I think, you know, Apple's at 50-55% and Samsung was like at 18%. I'm like, you know, okay, that's a crush. But there were some good, you know, insights of decisions that Samsung made and decisions that Apple made that were fun. But it's actually worth a listen, even though I'm kind of making fun of the fact that it wasn't a big competition in the end, because you'll learn a lot. You'll learn a lot about Samsung, and if you're an Apple fan, you may or may not learn a lot about Apple, but definitely worth it. 3 easy episodes. But the Business Wars is really good because they do 3 to 6 episodes for a business war, and then they followed up with a episode with the media and, you know, some media expert. And this guy was good. He was talking about, a lot of things in the Apple Watch, and he was really I think he said he collected watches, right? He worked for, in fact, I forget the magazine. I should have wrote it down. But the thing I found interesting at the very end, as I finish up my what I like this week, is they talked a lot about, high-end watches versus Apple Watch. And initially, you know, the Apple Watch did impact the high-end watches. But in the long run, their market share has kind of stayed where the market share is. It's Apple Watch created a whole new market. And the growth was, with people that converted from a analog watch to this watch, or people that didn't wear watches. So it was kind of interesting there. So I would highly recommend it. It's easy listening. You'll learn a lot. Business Wars. I think it was like season 91. So they've done a lot of Business Wars.
Right. And the name of it is Apple Watch versus Samsung: From Dust to Dynasty.
Correct.
And I have a question for you. Did they ever mention, and I'm sure they did, Samsung's decision to make a round face versus square?
Was that
mentioned in there at all?
No, they talked more about Apple's decisions on how the faces they made.
Okay.
It was more about, does Apple go round versus the rectangular? Mm-hmm. There was more about that than it was Samsung going round.
Because I think initially Samsung was not round, then they went round, and now they might be going back to square.
Yeah.
Back to square one, literally. But yeah, I always thought that was an interesting decision they made to make it more like a normal watch.
Right. And Apple was looking at round watches, and they talked about, you know, it just cuts a lot of the screen out. You can't do what you want to do visually. So let's change it. They talk a lot about the leadership shakeups in the Apple Maps debacle was brought up, you know, which we all know about intimately. So good. It was good.
Cool. And well, put this on my list. I'm definitely going to listen to that.
Yeah, you should definitely listen to it, Tom. Yeah,
very good. Love that.
Yeah.
And that's from Business Wars from Wondery, I guess.
Wondery, the, yes.
Yep. That makes
sense. Yeah, it's similar to the same folks that make Business Movers, right? You recommend
they do. Yeah, Business Movers, Business
Really good War, storytellers.
I'm all over those two.
Yeah, they produce some pretty high-end professional podcasts. So.
They do. Yeah, they're really good.
Unlike ours. So.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Come on.
They have producers that keep them in line.
Well, they do. They do reenactments. We should do a
reenactment. They do.
We should do a reenactment of something.
Nobody wants to listen to that. Okay. From us. I don't think so. All right. What I like this week is some new Apple Watch bands, if you didn't pick up on the little clues there. So, yeah, Apple came out with those spring colors, as we mentioned earlier. And I finally broke down and ordered some bands, even though I'm still kind of worried they're going to change the adapter on this next version of the Apple Watch later this year. That's kind of the reason I've been holding out a bit. But I really think they will find a way for folks like me, and there's a lot of them out there, that after almost 10 years have invested a lot of time and money in building up a collection. So hopefully they will. So anyway, I decided I'd go ahead and get some of these. So I got two of my favorite, two of them are my favorite sport loops, of course, the sweatpants of Apple Watch bands. One is in ocean blue, which is really nice, bright blue color. With a little kind of pastel orange tab on the where it connects. And then one is the soft mint. So I got this mint with the yellow, which I think will be great, again, you know, during the summer. Even coming up, be nice to wear. And I got a sport band, which I hadn't bought in a long time, the flubber band. So I can't wear this in the water, the lake, it'll fall to the bottom and that guy from Illinois will have to come find it. But it's the Sunshine sport band, the bright yellow, which I think I have one that was from another company's band, but I wanted an official Apple one, in that kind of color, which is a lot nicer, quality. And then lastly, I got a green gray, trail loop. Just another nice one I can use for running, which is really cool. I love the sound the sport loop and the green gray the trail loop make these great sounds when you pop open the hook and loop. Mm-hmm. Let's see if you can hear this. Here we go.
No,
it's that last little bit, right? The little foomp.
That sounds like you're lighting a match or something.
That was the trail loop. This is the sport loop.
Oh wow!
Isn't that great? I love that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Anyway, I got some good ones to last me for a little while here, going through the spring and into the summer. Didn't go too crazy. I didn't get the Hermes, of course. They didn't have the 45. So, you know, I might have been tempted if it would fit a different watch, but did you have anything, Vincent? I know you were.
I've been out, but okay. I'm thinking about what I like. I mean, one thing I did for fun was a couple of weeks ago, I was in Vegas, so I did check out the Sphere. That was as close
to
VR as you could.
Yeah, how was that?
Amazing. Nice.
It's actually really cool.
Is it?
It's actually really cool. It's very expensive.
Oh, really?
So name very expensive, like $100.
More than that, almost $200. Yeah,
for a ticket.
Yeah,
what did you see? What did you see?
We watched a postcard from Earth.
Okay,
so it was a movie about 50 minutes long that you got to watch.
Okay,
and it, you know, it's a little sci-fi esque, but it had a lot of scenes from all over the planet. You know, very nature esque type of things, and then it zoomed into the future and stuff like that, and how we start terraforming other planets. It's kind of interesting. But overall, it's a kind of 4D experience, right? You have the wind and the rumbling of the seats and all that stuff.
Wow.
So it was an interesting experience in terms of overall. But if you've used VR, if you've worn VR, it's kind of like that without goggles on, right? And you're sitting with 300 other people. But it's actually really neat.
Yeah.
Very, very bright.
I've actually never done VR.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I hope to, within the next 2 weeks, book an appointment at the Apple store to go try on the Vision Pro just to get a sense of it. So
try on, you're going to end up with one.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
We're well, remodeling I still think the about house. It every
I have
day.
No money. Go. You think about it every day.
I still do. Well, yeah, that may be an overestimate. I think about it enough that I'm like, man, I'd really like to buy one of those. So, Tom, when you do the demo and go and do it, mm-hmm. you'll see what I'm talking about. It's the closest thing I've ever been to being there. I've told you that when I did my What I Like This Week, mm-hmm. and I still look back to when he said, okay, now we're going to do some, you know, spatial audio and video, and I was like rehearsing with Alicia Keys, right? And
yeah,
mm-hmm. and it was unbelievable. And the other one was the soccer match of kids in Africa. I was like, holy right. cow, yeah. unbelievable! Wow. The mountains and the water and the sound, it was crazy awesome. So go do it. Mm-hmm. You just need to go do it.
Yeah, I just want to check it out. I mean, yeah. we talked so much about it, and I've never actually experienced it, so. I need to actually do that. So Vincent, let me ask you that high price yeah. tag, was it worth it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think in terms of actually experiencing it, yes. it's probably a once in a lifetime kind of thing. Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. If something else more amazing, I mean, I think I was there right when you two already left, but I heard those tickets are in the thousands of dollars. So mm-hmm. I don't, yeah, no.
Well, the question is, did you pay for it or did your company pay for it?
No, I pay for it.
Ah, okay.
So they have other concerts there, I guess, right? Other people?
Supposedly, yeah. There's a lot of other things that they can do there. But it's like the largest high-definition screen in the world or something like that. It's just amazing. You don't see any pixels.
Is that micro-LED? LED?
No, it's not.
Oh, man. Can you imagine what that would cost? Yeah.
Funny enough that you asked. I looked up micro-LED and Best Buy to see if there's anything that I can actually, you know, go look at. Best Buy does have one in store for $200,000.
What?
What? A TV?
A 100-inch Samsung TV. I don't Samsung. Know. Not at my local. Not at my local at Best Buy, I'm sure. But
you don't put that in the back of your car either, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Man. Wow.
It's good stuff.
But yeah, it sounds like that's something, if you're in Vegas, is something you should probably go see.
Yeah. Yeah. Go gamble for a little bit, make some money, go pay for a ticket.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
There is a part when you're in the lobby. So you buy a ticket.
Yeah.
And the movie doesn't actually start until about 15 minutes before you're let in. And during that first 15 minutes, you can just kind of browse the first floor, which contains, I believe, five androids, like literally like, you know, robots.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of standing there, and then they're just you can talk to them, and you can also do a virtual body scan and virtualize yourself, which I would not recommend doing for the security perspective.
Yes.
But you're more than welcome to sit there and talk to the robots, which is actually really neat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's cool. It sounds like I need to go to Vegas at some point here.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah, it's worth checking out.
Yeah, like I say, it sounds like it's worth the experience. So
yes, yeah.
All right. Anything else before we get a notification on our watch that to end our workout when we never actually started one on purpose? Do you ever get that?
Not lately.
So I guess I'm accidentally hitting the workout thing somehow. And then I get a notification later that says, you want to end your workout? Because it noticed I wasn't actually working out, which I didn't mean to.
I'm the opposite, Tom. I started a workout. Like this morning, I started a workout and forgot to stop it. And like I sit down and finally start working. I'm like, congratulations on your 90-minute workout.
That's what those people in Connecticut are doing.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
That's how they got to be number one, right?
Yes.
They're just doing that all the time. All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce the show, so check it out. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening, and until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.